Anybody in here want to be perceived smart? You know, maybe we're all actually right here, but you want to be perceived as smarter up here? Or you know, you want to grow in humility or kindness? You want to be a good problem solver? You want to be a great teacher? Sounds like, well, how could you be all these things? How could any one thing help you do all these things? But you'll see. How about a good parent? Want to be a good parent? Want a good relationship with God? What one thing could you do that would achieve or help achieve all of these? You want to be an effective manager of the household, of your career, of your life. You want to show maturity and grow in maturity. What one thing, if you had to pick one thing, could you do? And your answer couldn't be, you know, just be like Christ. You know, you had to give a more specific answer. What answer might you give? You want to be perceived as a deep thinker and actually be a deep thinker. Want to have lots of friends, be friendly, a good leader. You want to keep learning. You want to display and grow in wisdom and truth. These are some big things. Avoid conflict. Solve problems, as I already mentioned. Be successful. And ultimately develop God's character. I know all of our answers could be different, and they could all be right. But what one thing must you do? At some point, you have to do this one thing to achieve these items. Anybody have any answers? I've come up with one. Again, it can't be just be like Christ, be Holy Spirit filled. You know, that's an obvious and correct answer, but that's too broad. One of the greatest tools for success and for growth is asking questions. Ask questions. Seems like maybe at first pass kind of a strange answer, but none of us, you know, progress from point A to point B ultimately without asking a question. Of course, it's important that we first and foremost ask ourselves questions and others, and of course, asking God questions. Again, I don't mean just questions. You know, you've all met that person who just seems to have an endless supply of questions. They're not really interested in the answer. They just, maybe you have a meeting and they just keep asking questions without any real point or purpose. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about asking deep, important questions. You look around the world today, it's obvious that people are quick to give their opinion, quick to make a statement, a judgment, you know, in anger and frustration, in defending their position, maybe their angle on things. But it seems like the art of asking questions has been lost. You know, it used to be when you went to school, you know, every institution out there would brag about how we train people, our students, our faculty are programmed and skilled at developing people who can ask questions. It seems like that's kind of gone away to a large degree. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Questions can do that. Questions can achieve a lot of things, as you'll see as we go through this. When we look at the idea of conversion, you know, converting ourselves from our character, our nature, to God's character and God's nature, we can't do that without asking questions. We have to ask questions. The title of this message, as you might guess, is Asking Questions and Seeking Answers. Asking questions and seeking answers. And of course, that implies listening and being teachable. But again, ask questions and seek answers. There's a proverb, not in the Bible, but a proverb, unknown origin. It says, "He who is afraid to ask is ashamed of learning." He who is afraid to ask is ashamed of learning. Many people listen to God's word and read God's word. And that's a good thing. Of course, we should study. We should read. But there is a difference when we sit down and ask a question. When we ask a question and seek answers. So we're going to look at today, you know, how do we change? How do we grow? How do we have a relationship with God? How do we do all those things I opened up with? And those things cannot be done without asking questions. And you'll see why that is true. Commonly or generally, You know, we can learn, and we often learn, and certainly it's a teaching method, through proclamation. You know, where you have somebody lecture to you or tell you something or teach you something. That's pretty obvious. You know, God proclaimed his name in the Bible, and that's a good thing. We learn that way. The prophets made proclamations. Of course, the apostles made proclamations. Jesus made proclamations. He proclaimed the gospel. And that's a good thing. And that can take you, obviously, a certain distance in achieving these things, these goals. But a less obvious way of learning, and really a more important way, in many respects, is learning and understanding truth by asking questions. Asking questions. So if you would turn to Mark 11, 24. Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I don't know about you, but when I read that, and I've of course read that as many of us have many, many times, I instantly think of the things, the material things that I want to ask for. You know, God, please provide this, or please make this happen. The things that we feel that we need, and often we do. Turn to 1 John 5, verse 14, a similar passage. 1 John 5, verse 14. Because when we read these verses, again, I speak for myself, I think of material things. And we know throughout Scripture, God is less worried about the material things that we want, ask, and need than he is the spiritual. And we'll see that as we go through this. 1 John 5, verse 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Of course, God's will. You know, is he more concerned about our spiritual development, our learning, our wisdom, our overcoming, our conversion, our growth, our change, our maturity, our spiritual success, all the things that we ask about? Or is he more concerned about the typical things that we ask for? You know, we all know the answer to that question. He is more concerned about us growing spiritually. You know, that we ask for truth. God, help me to understand truth. Or what is truth? How much do we ask for those things? Wisdom or understanding or peace? You know, fruits of the Spirit, spiritual knowledge. Or do we get hung up, as, you know, I'll speak for myself, we think of those physical things, generally speaking, first. Rather than asking God questions, asking for truth, asking for him to explain to us, you know, define for us something we need to understand in life. You know, nowhere in Scripture does God primarily focus on our physical needs. If you would turn to Matthew 7, verse 7, you'll see why I say that, because Christ says so. Matthew 7, verse 7, we'll read several verses here. Matthew 7, verse 7. You'll see in verse 7, there's the point of emphasis is being made here. He gives a command first, Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Verse 8, he gives the promises that come with that. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Of course, It's not generally God's and Christ's focus that we're asking, seeking, and knocking for physical things, but rather those spiritual things that come by asking questions, that only come through discovery, through that spirit of seeking, asking, and knocking. Verse 9, he goes on to explain about the obvious. Or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread, a physical thing? Will he give him a stone? Christ is like giving us the no duh, you know. God knows the physical things we need. You know, he's not oblivious to the fact that we're physical people with physical needs. Verse 10, or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Again, he's really emphasizing the point. These are physical things that God knows we need. Yet it seems, at least if I speak for myself, we spend most of our time asking for those physical things. Rather than, you know, God, what is truth? What is the purpose of my life? How do I grow in maturity? How do I overcome? How do I focus on your way of life? How do I serve and help others? You know, the big questions that help us grow by leaps and bounds aren't going to be wrapped in a physical thing, a, you know, fish or bread. Verse 11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It's not just petitions, but it's asking, okay, asking questions, asking things of God, spiritually oriented. Again, it's hard to do at times. The word seek here in this passage, back in verse 7, is an important word. Helps Word Study says this, to seek by inquiring. That's what it means. Again, God tells us right here, ask and it will be given, seek. Doesn't mean go pursue all the physical things, pursue the dreams, pursue the money, the cars, the wealth, you know, whatever, fashion, likes, friends even. Seek, which means to seek by inquiring, by asking questions. That's what it means to ask, seek, and knock. We can't learn life's biggest questions from God. We can't learn about others, the problems that others face. We can't truly serve others without asking questions. If you want to see, be perceived as smart and be smart, you're going to do it by asking questions. The Bible says so. There's a dozen proverbs that say the same thing. If you want to be a good parent, you can't lecture a good child. You know, I'm just going to discipline and lecture all the time and my child will be great. It won't happen. You have to ask questions. You want to be an effective manager at work, at business, in your life. It can't be done by proclamation. I'm going to proclaim. I'm going to give my opinion. I'm going to do it with force. I'm going to do it with anger nowadays. It's going to be more effective by asking questions. What's working well? What's not working? What can I do to serve you? I remember as a manager in corporate America, my goal was to make their jobs easier. And I'd tell them that. What do I need to do to make your job easier? More effective. It's because you're asking a question. You're not proclaiming what you're going to do or what you expect out of them. You're asking questions. If you want to keep learning, you have to be asking questions. All the things I talked about up front. You want to avoid conflict and solve problems? You're going to have to ask a question. You can't get on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and give your opinion every single time. You have to ask people, well, why do you feel that way? Where do you get your information or how or why do you feel that way? Or let me understand. So you're saying this. Well, how did you come to that conclusion? Again, you start asking questions. You can avoid conflict. You can resolve conflict. It's not going to be done by proclamation or declaration or anger or being harsh with words. If I put it in all caps in my email and really let them have it, they'll get it. No. More often than not, you're going to solve those issues by asking questions. As we go through this, you'll see how Christ was the great questioner. And it's a phenomenal study. If you want to do a study on questions in Scripture. There's thousands of questions asked in Scriptures. So again, the word seek means to seek by inquiring, by asking questions, to investigate. Investigating sounds different to me than seeking or pursuing, the way I use the word seek. I seek after whatever I seek after. Work, nice lawn, you know, success. No, this means to seek by asking questions and investigating. That's different. Do we seek and investigate in God's Word? Do we seek and investigate from each other? I know I don't do that as well as I could or should. We make opinions of people, and they're stuck in that mold for the next 30 years. Because we don't investigate, we don't ask questions, and we need to. To investigate, to reach a binding or terminal resolution, to search. Getting to the bottom of a matter. What a great word, the word seek. You know, I think of just seeking, I'm going to go after something. That's true, but it means more to ask questions and to investigate. And I think that's an art that's been lost. Matthew 6, verse 33, a very popular verse, but seek first, exact same word in the Hebrew, or in the Greek. But seek first, but seek by inquiring and investigate first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those are all spiritual things. And all these other, if you will, I'm inserting that word, all these other things shall be added to you. And most of those won't be added till we inherit the earth. So again, we must seek, we inquire, we ask questions in our pursuit of the kingdom of God. We investigate the kingdom of God. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we overcome. You know, iron sharpens iron. Well, how does it sharpen iron? Well, because we're going to butt heads and I'm going to argue with people. No, ask them questions and you'll learn something. You'll learn something. I've met people, we've all know these people. You can talk to them for 10 hours and they'll never ask you a question because they're busy. They're consumed telling you about themselves or telling you something about what they know. Rarely do you get good and thought-provoking questions as a congregation, as families, as friends, as employees, as employers. We have to get good at the art of investigating and seeking by inquiring, by asking questions. And it will benefit every aspect of our lives. If you're an employee and you ask your boss, your employer, good questions, how do I get better? I know it's not time for employee evaluation, if you even have that anymore. It's such a PC world out there. I even wonder, do they even do employee evaluations anymore? But again, how can I be better? How can I be more effective at what I do? Those are good questions. And it will help you. It will help you. How do I improve? How am I perceived? How can I serve? It's a dangerous question. I realize to say, how am I perceived? What do you think of me? That's an open door. Be ready for probably a pretty stout answer. But if the truth be told, wouldn't that help us? Wouldn't it help us? Of course it would. Why do you feel that way? As I've already said, that's a great question. Instead of just arguing about what they feel, if somebody feels that way, the fact that you disagree is not going to change the way they feel. Why do you feel that way? I disagree, but I'm curious. Well, why do you feel that way? Help me understand that position. Again, Paul said he became all things to all people. You're not going to help people unless we can first go where they are. And you can't do that without a question. Because I don't investigate. I don't know you. How would I know somebody without asking questions? Unless they just openly tell you everything. It's an important thing that we ask questions. The result of that, which is given back here in Matthew 7, where we're at, the result of seeking, the result of inquiring and investigating, says he finds, which means to learn or discover. Again, that's a little bit different. So when we inquire, when we ask questions, when we investigate, we're going to learn. It's not, find doesn't mean just acquire. I'm going to go seek wealth and I will find it. It will come to me. No, God says, ask good questions, investigate, and you will learn. That's different. He's not talking about the bread and the fish. That's obvious. God knows what we need physically. He's more concerned, of course, about us asking, investigating those spiritual matters. There is a condition, of course, right here in context, verse 11. Matthew 7, you know, the condition to asking and receiving is we have to ask for advantageous gifts, verse 11. And it's done so, here in context, in a relationship of a father and child. It's not just a stranger on the street. They're, even here in context, you're talking about a father and a son, a relationship. And that's how we do it. We have to do that, learn in relationships. And we have relationships with people in the street. We have relationships with employers, congregation, pastor, minister, children. We have to be asking questions. And I just, as I see things and read things online, nobody asks questions anymore. Everybody has their opinion and they know they're right. They don't ask questions. They don't care why you feel the way you do. They just know that that's different. God's not, of course, hiding from his children. He's seeking us to pay attention and ask questions, to be engaged in that relationship. But God has all knowledge. He's always instantly available, and he's wanting us to ask questions, to investigate and to seek by inquiring. Of course, that's not a new idea. The whole idea of discipleship, which again, Mr. Petty and others, and myself included, we talk about that. What's discipleship? It's a relationship based on asking questions. The teacher asks the student questions. The student asks the teacher questions. Our whole calling is based on we don't have the answers, and we seek, we investigate, we inquire to learn, as we've already covered. That's right there in context. So again, we are called to be disciples, and you can't be a disciple. I can't be a disciple without being good and aware of always asking questions. Again, not just for the sake of the sport of asking questions. I'll be clever. I'll ask a question that I don't even care about. No. That whole point assumes that you want to learn, assumes that you're going to listen to the answer. We'll look at Christ, of course, as the master teacher. He was the master question asker or questioner. He asked great questions, and he did it, of course, because he's trying to get people to learn how to learn. He set that example. To learn how to teach. And none of us could ever be an effective teacher without learning the art of asking questions. And of course, relationships, the same thing. It'd be hard to have a relationship with somebody that only talks about themselves and only does in a proclamation manner. Never asks questions. Well, how do you feel? What do you think about that? What's your thought on this? You know, what's your take on this idea, this subject? How do you interpret this? What do you, you know, Floyd, a friend of ours in Michigan's great that he's always asking. So what's your understanding of this? Where do you stand on this idea, this thought? It's great. It gets all of us involved and helps develop a relationship. So let's look at some of Christ's examples. Of course, he set the ultimate example as teacher and in teaching disciples. Let me ask you this question. And this to me was just almost mind-boggling. How many questions does Jesus ask that are recorded in only four books, the Gospels? How many questions does the Son of Man, who had all the answers, he had the answer to every question. How many questions are recorded just in the four Gospels? Anybody want to guess? 0 to 50. Any takers? Man, you guys are all good. 50 to 100? 100 to 200. 200 to 300. Come on. You guys all think it's at least in that number? More than 300. 339. In four Gospels, just a few little words that are recorded of Christ, he asked 339 questions. That's an amazing number. That's an amazing example. And he had the answers. He could read people's hearts and minds or thoughts, but he asked 339 questions. I can go a month probably and not ask that many questions. That's a lot of questions. Let me ask some other interesting facts. The first recorded words to mankind from God the Father, to Adam and Eve. Anybody want to guess what they were? It's a question. Where are you? It's a question. God knew where they were. The first recorded words of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in Scripture. A question. He's 13 years old, Luke 2, verse 49, and he, Jesus, again at 13 years of age, said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" It's a question to get people to think. He didn't come to just grind our face in it with proclamation, which he did plenty of. Again, that's a teaching style and important. He asked questions. The first recorded words of Christ's ministry. Anybody know where those are found? John 1, verse 35. If you want to write it down, I'll read it. Of course, it's a question. That's amazing. If I'm coming as Son of God of the universe, man, I'm coming with proclamation. Here I am. You know? Everybody, you ready for this? You know, I mean, no. Christ came asking questions. Because he's the master question asker. He's the master teacher. And it gets people, mankind, thinking. What is life? What is the purpose of life? Why are you here? Why are you born? What talents do you have? Where are you going in life? Where are you helping other people? How are you helping other people? Are you helping other people? How long do you have to live? How long do I have to, God? I don't know. And these are big questions. John 1:35, first recorded words of Christ's ministry. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" That's an amazing question from God of the universe in the flesh. What do you seek? Not what am I seeking, not why am I here. What are you guys looking for? What do you seek? What an example Christ set. The types of questions that Christ asked, again, they create introspection. They make us think. They help us connect, create and make and nurture relationships. Obviously, learning. Learning. How do you learn anything without asking questions unless you know all the answers already? You don't. I've been in arguments with people and they never once, I've had homeowners, I'll do something, get chewed out for 20 minutes. You're just sitting there taking it and they'll be like, so finally they ask a question. So why did you do that this way? Because codes requires it. Like, oh, that kind of, because I had to. I'm required by law to do it. Well, if they had known that up front, they'd ask a question. But why is it done this way? All that be avoided. Again, conflict. We talked about that. Asking questions is a core part of God's character. I know that because it's recorded in Scripture. There's over 3,000 questions recorded in Scripture. That's a lot of questions. A lot of questions from God who has all the answers. What do you seek? John 1, verse 38. So again, the types of questions, as I mentioned, help us build and develop relationships and learning. Of course, they can test us. They can rebuke us with a question. That's an effective way to do those things. It helps people get engaged. We discover things. And more often than not, it creates ownership. If I ask you a question, even if I'm guiding you into an answer that I want you to give, if I ask a question and you get there by yourself, don't you feel you have ownership of that? I know you do. I know what kids do. We've had kids. We've got kids. You get them to come to it on their own, and now they own it. Same thing with God's truth. If I lecture to you, or if a minister lectures to you by proclamation, everything of the word, you'll learn something. But if you discover it by inquiring, by searching, by seeking, by investigation, it's yours. You own it. It's the pearl of great price that you had to dig up out of the yard. That's different. It's different. God tells us that's what he's looking for. Ask, seek, and knock. It's a spirit of asking questions and going through the effort of finding an answer. I think we just, as society, have just gotten so... I don't care what people think. I just don't care. I got my opinion and I'm right. I saw what I saw. I know what I know. And I don't care what you think or know or what I can learn from you. That's a dangerous position to be in because, again, ultimately, it gets into pride, humility, overcoming, growing. Again, we ask the question, conversion. How do we go from here to here? We got to change who we are. We can't change who we are if we're not asking questions. It's an important method to getting there. Here's some of the great questions that, of course, there's, as I've already mentioned, 339. Matthew 6, verse 25. You don't need to turn to all these, but this is great question asking from Christ. Matthew 6, verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink." And we already talked about that in Matthew 7. God's not worried about that because he knows you need that. He wants us to be focused on the other things that we don't normally, at least I speak for myself, I don't ask God those big questions often enough. what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? What a great, great question. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? A great question. Verse 27, another question. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Christ could have just made that a statement. You cannot add one cubit to your stature by worrying. But he asked the question because it engages people. And when they come up with the answer, which is obvious, it's now their truth. They've discovered it. They've investigated. They've sought it. They've dug for that pearl. And now they have ownership. And it changes how we think. Verse 28, another question. So why do you worry about clothing? Why do you worry about those things? Why do we spend so much of our time asking and praying about things that God already knows that we need? We need to shift our thinking, asking God questions. God, I don't understand this. What is truth? You know, what can I do to grow? Where do I need to focus and overcome? Maybe pre-Passover we do a better job, but we need to be doing that throughout the year. Matthew 7, verse 3. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? What a great question. Matthew 18, verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? What do you think? That's God of the universe asking a man what he thinks. Matthew 20, verse 32. So Jesus stood still and called them, the two blind men, and said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? It's a great question. Mark 3, verse 4, and he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. What an effective question. All that arguing, all that, you know, them taking a judicial, you know, course or trying to entrap him was done away with a question. Because they already knew. They knew the answer to that question. But they couldn't give it. It's powerful. It's a powerful way. And Christ is obviously skilled at it. Mark 8, verse 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's two questions. Christ asks questions, which is one after another. To me, it's an amazing example, and it's so effective. That's why his message is eternal. That's why it applies to me, applies to your neighbor, applies to every person who will ever live, because it's question-based. It's not proclamation-based. He preached the gospel. He brought truth to us, but he did it in a way by asking questions, by getting people to think, to be engaged. And that simply changes the whole picture. Mark 8, verse 29, he said to them, but who do you say I am? Another great question. Makes people stop, evaluate where they are, what they think, what they know, what they don't know. Makes them confess what they don't know. You know what? You're the Son of Man, but I really can't explain that. Can you teach me more about who you are? I mean, it opens the door for learning. Questions are a gateway, obviously, in that manner. Mark 11, verse 28. And I'm rattling these off, but these are just phenomenal questions. Mark 11, verse 28. And they said to him, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. Again, he disarmed them. He beat them at their own game. So questioning isn't always just teach me something. It's an effective way, oftentimes, to resolve conflict, to get people. In this case, they had to, in their mind, whether they verbally said it, they had to admit, this guy's right and I'm wrong. That's why they couldn't answer. They didn't want to take that position. But they would have loved to argue, right? They would argue for years over this point. Jesus ended it right there with a question. Luke 6, verse 32, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? What a great question. Yeah, you're just reciprocating what someone else has already initiated. That's easy. For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. Those are all great questions. When you read Scripture, think and recognize how many questions Christ asks. You say, well, how many questions have I asked my spouse or my child or my friends or my employer in the last week, month, year? Hopefully a lot. Hopefully a lot. If not, then we need to grow in this. Luke 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to them, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? What an effective example. Rather than just giving him the answer, well, how do you answer that question? What is your reading? How do you interpret that? What does it mean to you? And you'll discover instantly, A, where they are, or it'll make them discover where they are and take ownership of their position. It's a very effective way to teach. Luke 10, verse 36. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Well, there's an ageless question that will last for an eternity. That question will never go away. The Good Samaritan. And everybody who has to answer that question, we know they all have the same answer. Of course, the man who stopped, the Samaritan. But it makes them say those words and admit and confess that truth. They've discovered it on their own without being told that answer. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Verse 67. Then Jesus said to the 12, Do you also want to go away? That's a great question. Do we want to go away? Where is everybody over the last 30, 40, 50, 60 years? Well, ask yourself that question. What would it take for me to leave God's truth? It's a big question. Hopefully you know the answer. Paul set the same example. Again, it's just amazing. It's throughout Scripture. I won't turn to any of these verses. But just to prove the point, because it's fascinating. Romans, this is Paul's writings, just in the book of Romans. These are all the verses that Paul asks a question. Romans 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 21, verse 22, verse 23, verse 26, verse 27. Romans 3, the next chapter, verse 1, verse 3, verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 27, verse 29, verse 31. Romans 4, verse 1, verse 3, verse 9, verse 10. Romans 6, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 15, verse 16. It's all in there. It's asking questions. That to me is an amazing thing. When I rattle that off, it's mind-boggling. If you told me to write a letter to the church, I'd be proclaiming, here's where you are, here's what you need to do, here's how I think you should do it, you know, here are the points, 1 through 5, 1 through 10, here's sub-points, here's keywords, definitions. I'd proclaim that. Paul writes and he's asking questions, one after another. And in most cases, he gives maybe an answer, but not always. He's asking questions because people, when they discover, right, when they seek, ask, and knock, and they investigate, when they inquire, you've taught them something. They have learned something at your prompting. They teach themselves. And ultimately, that's the only person on earth that can teach you is yourself. Somebody can tell you something, but until you accept that and gain that and make that a part of your character, that's, again, on you. That's on you. Questions help do that. Questions, of course, reflect that a person who's teachable. Again, if you're asking questions, it normally means that you're teachable. I'm asking you a question, and I'm willing to listen to your answer. I'm teachable. God wants people who are teachable. Why? Because we have to convert from where we are and go to here. It's going to take teaching to get there. Of course, listening, humility. It takes a big degree of humility to ask questions. I don't have the answers. I don't know why I did it that way. I don't know if this is the correct way. Do you know a better way? I mean, that takes humility to ask questions and to be asked questions. I could declare in anger, in all caps in my emails or texts, that's easier. But to say, you know, I don't have the answer. How do you see it? How do you interpret it? How do I make you happy? How do I improve this situation? How do I overcome God? How do I serve? How do I grow? How do I learn? These are big questions. Asking questions shows love. Again, if you're sincere about asking questions, it shows that it's beyond just me. I want to know where you are or how I can improve. Wisdom, of course, we mentioned that. And ultimately, it shows us how and helps us in the process of being converted. We can't be converted from point A to point B without asking questions. Christ set that example for us in his teaching method and in asking questions. 339 of them. That, to me, is still amazing. Matthew 18, verse 2. If you would, just be the last verse we'll turn to. Matthew 18, verse 2. This is a passage, I think, for me, I'll speak for myself, but I probably have misunderstood all my life, if I'm being truthful. And I've heard many people talk about it. I'm not saying that their answers aren't right, but I think that we've missed perhaps the point on this. Matthew 18, verse 2. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, again, emphasis, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I've heard, and again, I've thought, well, children are, you know, they have a certain humility to them. They're dependent on parents. And I've heard, again, a variety of answers. But one thing is for sure, is most children are teachable. They ask questions. They want to learn. I mean, you think of small children, that's probably one of the most redeeming things, is that they're just learning. They're walking around, absorbing everything. We got little Callie here. I mean, she's learning by leaps and bounds, investigating, picking up this, looking up, you know, take her upstairs and put her in a bonus room, and she picks it up, looks at it, picks up the next thing. I mean, she's, you know, walking a funnel of learning. I think that's the most redeeming thing about children, and from this perspective. Because he tells us, unless we become converted and become like little children, if we don't become teachable, if we don't ask questions, if we don't look beyond ourselves, ask other people, understand other people, learn how other people think, serve other people, ask God the big questions in life, children ask questions. They learn. They drink in those things. And I've got a fact to prove it. This is, to me, again, an amazing thing about children. This is from a survey. It's Littlewood's retailer survey. They surveyed 1,000 mothers with children aged between 2 and 10. It has revealed that moms field an average of blank questions a day from their young children. Anybody want to guess? You guys aren't real good at this guessing game. 288 questions a day. Age 2 to 10. They're asking 288 questions a day. That's a lot of questions. God says, you know, unless you become like little children where you're investigating, you're seeking, you're knocking, you're inquiring, digging into my spiritual things, I think that's what the verse is saying. I never even thought that about Matthew 18, verse 2. It's changed it for me. God wants us to be like little children, learning, asking, seeking, knocking, digging, inquiring about him, about his way of life, doing that with others. Why? Because you can't serve. How are we going to serve mankind without asking the question? Where have you been? What have you experienced? What was your life like? Tell me about your upbringing, your child. What makes you happy? What makes you tick? Why do you think that way? How can I serve you? We're not going to be able to do those things with mankind without asking questions. And Christ tells us we got to be like little children and ask questions. The survey goes on. With the number of questions asked varying by age of child, girls aged 4 are the most curious. Girls aged 4. We've had 3 of those. Carly was the funniest. She was nonstop. I think Carly tripled or quadrupled this number. Girls aged 4 are the most curious, asking blank questions per day. Remember, the other one, ages 2 to 10, was 288 questions a day. Girls, age 4, being the most curious, ask 390 questions per day, averaging a question every 1 minute, 56 seconds. Every 2 minutes, they're asking something. Wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing stat. Why are children, they're just learning. I mean, as our learning about God, His way, His spiritual aspects, His character, which is infinite, has our learning stopped in that process? Do we know each other in this room as well as we're ever going to know each other? If so, what a shame. Without questions, that could be true. Asking questions can prevent that. And we get used to telling people, reacting to people, being harsh with people, and sharing our thoughts and positions and knowing that I'm right. We see that all around us. Discipleship, of course, is interactive. It reflects, it considers, it analyzes, it asks questions back and forth. It's based on a relationship of asking questions. Asking questions creates awareness, of course, and understanding. Questions build a conversion culture where discoveries are made and truth is earned. If you can discover it, it's yours. You own it. That's how you are converted. It's not just knowledge. When you discover something, you're converted with that because you discovered that knowledge. You discovered it. You dug it up and put in the effort. So as disciples, we must follow Christ's example and learn to ask questions and seek answers.